奉耶稣基督圣名，我们来学习。
In the name of Jesus Christ, we commence our studies.
那因为今天最后一天，所以要复习一下。
This is the last day for me, so I will have a review.
那我们西教里已经讲很多，所以西教里就我们知道西教里是一定要的，并且是典礼。
We've talked extensively on the washing of feet, and this is a sacrament.
那并且洗脚礼里面有奥秘性。
And also within foot washing, there's the mysteries involved.
如果有人认为说洗脚礼多余的话，那就让他不要洗脚好了，跟主没有份。
If someone feels that foot washing is excessive, then he should not, refrain from it and have no part in Jesus.
那再来圣餐。
Next, Holy Communion.
我们圣餐，我们道理常常听。
We've heard the sermon regarding Holy Communion often.
圣餐也是一样，圣礼的话一定有两个很重要的因素在里面。
That the Holy Communion is as well a sacrament has its efficacies involved.
一个就是它的奥秘性。
First, it has its mysterious nature.
再来就是它象征性。
And its sacramental nature.
洗脚礼有这两个性质。
Symbolism. And foot washing has also these symbols.
那圣餐也有这两个特性。
Same as Holy Communion has these two special symbols.
圣餐的它的奥秘性就是祝谢之后就灵化成耶稣的身体。
The mysterious part of Holy Communion is that after blessing, the cup and the bread spiritually transforms to Jesus' blood and body.
所以那是奥秘性。
That's why it's mysterious to us.
那在奥秘性里面一定要有圣灵的那个工作。
But within the realm of mystery, there must be the Holy Spirit's abidance.
如果你没有圣灵的话，你注谢或是这个教会没有圣灵的话，你虽然你相信说这个要灵化，但是你没有圣灵就没有圣灵的工作。虽然你这样的相信这样的注谢也没有功效，因为没有圣灵。
If you have not the Holy Spirit or your church has not the Holy Spirit, after blessing, even if you believe the spiritual transformation, that will not occur.
就好像施洗约翰，他虽然也在活动的水洗礼，但是他没有用圣灵施洗，没有圣灵的同在。所以在施洗约翰那时候施洗过的，当耶稣五旬节之后，耶稣来之后，还要再受洗一遍，因为那个没有效，没有功效，就是因为没有圣灵。
John the Baptist baptized everyone without having the Holy Spirit. Therefore, after Pentecost, Holy Spirit came, everyone had to be rebaptized.
所以圣餐礼当有圣灵的人，那我们全教会要圣灵，然后这样的注谢，那在注谢的时候叫灵化，变成耶稣的血跟耶稣的肉。那这样子的话，这是它的奥秘性。
That the spiritual transformation of the Holy Communion only comes about by the prayer of those with the Holy Spirit, the congregation. Then this constitutes its mysterious nature.
那圣餐里的象征性就是。一个饼象征一个耶稣的一个身体，这不是真正说耶稣身体是圆圆的这样，不是，这是一个说用一个来象征耶稣的身体，然后用一个来象征说我们要联合在一起。所以这教训性的就是用象征来讲，所以我们教会的圣餐里一方面有奥秘性在里面，就是奥秘性的话是灵化，然后象征呢就是教训。
The symbolic nature of the Holy Communion is that the one bread represents Jesus' body, although physically does not resemble Jesus' body, but in teaching, moral teaching, it is of unity, it is of the oneness of Jesus' body.
那我们教会是两个合起来的，不是分开的。
And our church takes the symbolism and the mysterious nature of Holy Communion and we combine them.
因为我们有圣灵同在，所以虽然是物质的，但是因为有圣灵的同在，所以有灵化的功效。
That although the sacraments, the bread and the cup are material things, but with the Holy Spirit's abidance, they are able to undergo spiritual transformation.
那这个象征的实质意义也重要。实在的那个意义。
And the true essence of the symbolism is also very important.
我们一定要用一个饼，然后用无效的，并且是用手拨开的。
That we have only one bread, and of unleavened nature, and must be broken.
然后杯一定要用葡萄汁。
And the cup is from the vine.
那因为无效饼跟葡萄汁是没有发过酵的，因为酵就是罪恶。
Because unleavened bread and juice from the vine is not, has not yeast in it, therefore it is unleavened without sin.
我们圣餐礼桌的时候，这些道理讲的比较多，这些呢是属于象征性的。
And these teachings we've heard during Holy Communion sermons, and these are of the symbolic side of Holy Communion.
因为那个笑不等于罪哈，笑是象征罪，不然你在吃面包的话就吃到罪了。
For the yeast is not sin itself, for yeast symbolizes sin, or else when we eat bread, then we're eating sin.
所以要分开，但是这个虽然是象征的，但是也很重要。就是我不可以说，哎，见象征的，那随便买个面包来，也不可以的。
Although it's just symbolism, we still have to look highly upon it. We can't just then go purchase bread and use it for Holy Communion.
所以这两个是合起来的。
So these two must be intimately combined.
啊，这是我们真实教会独特的那个圣餐礼的道理。
And these are the features of our Holy Communion sacraments.
好，那今天我想我们还有约珥书哈。那我想说我们这一堂课就开始来上约珥书，那到今天下午大家比较累一点，第一节我最后一堂课的时候，我再把教会历史做一个总结。
We'll start with the book of Joel this morning, and the last class I have this afternoon, I'll do a review on the church history.
因为教会历史大家都差不多都懂了啦，我的两个最后还我第一堂上课的时候有讲嘛，如果懂两样就可以了。第一个，耶稣教会是唯一的得救的教会；第二个，就是你要去把这个得救教会的唯一得救教会的真理要出去传扬。如果你这两个懂了，并且也是同意的，那教历史就这样可以结束了。
I believe everyone has a clear understanding of the church history by now. As you recall from the first class, I mentioned that there's only two key questions that we have to answer for ourselves. Number one is that we are the thesis that we are the only church of salvation in this world. Secondly, is that it is our obligation that we preach the words of God to this world.
那我们现在就翻开约珥书。
So now we turn our attention to Joel.
约珥书我想大家都有看过了哈。
I believe everyone has read through Joel.
那约珥书是十二小先知书里面的一卷。
Joel is one of the 12 minor prophets.
那是第二卷。
It is the second scroll.
那圣经里面有四个大的先知书，还有十二个小的先知书。这大小并不是说他人的大小或是工作的大小，而是他的就是书卷的大小。
There are 12 minor prophetic books and 4 major. However, the major and minor does not imply size, rather, or importance. It implies the size of the text itself.
那约珥书刚好在十二小先知书里面的第二卷。
And Joel happens to be the second of the 12 minor prophets.
那这里面有很好的一些属灵的教训。
And there are many beautiful spiritual teachings within this book.
并且有很好的那个预言。
As well, it contains many prophetic sayings.
我们请看《使徒行传》。
Let's turn to the book of Acts.
使徒行传第二章。
Acts chapter 2.
第二章十四节。
Acts 2:14.
《使徒行传》二章十四节这边说，彼得和十一个使徒站起高声说，犹太人和一切住在耶路撒冷的人啊，这件事你们应当当知道，也当侧听我的话。第十五节，你们想这些人是醉了，其实不是醉了，之后刚到事出。十六节，这正是先知约珥所说的，神说，在末后的日子，我要将我的灵浇灌凡有血气的，你们的儿女要说预言，你们的少年要见异象，之下就省略了。这里我们可以看得到，这是引用约珥书里面的话。
Here we see the quote from the book of Joel in Acts.
那 这一节呢，就是约珥书的第二章二十八节以下。
And this quote is from Joel 2:28 and on.
那使徒行传的这一段是彼得第一次的讲道。
Here is the first sermon given by Peter.
所以在使徒时代的第一次的讲道的第一次的翻圣经，就翻到约珥书。
That the first sermon occurring in the very first time of the apostolic era, they refer to Joel.
那所以可见彼得对约珥书也很熟悉。
It is evident that Peter was quite learned in the book of Joel.
那不然他们那时候从小就要背的啦。
That they memorized the scriptures from young.
所以他得到圣灵之后，他也没有准备说要讲什么，没有什么讲稿的。
And after receiving the Holy Spirit, he never prepared for a sermon.
他被圣灵一感动，就第一个讲到的第一次的引用圣经，就引用到约珥书，可见约珥书很重要。
That after the movement of the Holy Spirit, after he received it, the Holy Spirit moved him to refer to the book of Joel, letting us know that Joel may be an important book.
那彼得对约珥书也很熟，你看他一背就背了那么大一段的那个圣经。
And we can see that in Peter's sermon, he quotes Joel verbatim.
那所以我们就来看看到底约书里面写些什么。
So we like to look at this book of Joel and see what it has to offer us.
那这段圣经只有三章，在中文、英文都是一样。
This book only has three chapters, both in the English and the Chinese versions.
但是在希伯来文它原来的不是这样子。
But in the Hebrew text, original text, it is not so.
在原来的呢，它是有四章。
Originally, there are four chapters.
那从第一章跟英文的一样，跟中文的一样，就是第一章一节到二十节。
The first chapter corresponds to that of the English and Chinese Bible.
那第希伯来文的第二章呢，是第一节到二十七节。
And verse 1 to 27 constitute the first chapter of the Hebrew text.
那第三章，三章只有一节到五节。
And the third chapter is just 1 to 5, verses 1 to 5.
那第四章就是一节到二十一节。
And verses 1 to 21 constitute the fourth chapter of the Hebrew text.
那英文的是从那个 King James 来的。
The English came from the King James Version.
那 King James 是从那个五家大本。
And King James came from the Vulgate Version.
那他也是一样，若一章的话是一节到二十节。
And the first chapter is from verse 1 to 20.
那 King James 把这两个合起来变成一章，所以二十七加五就三十二吧。
And what the King James Version did was incorporate the Hebrew chapter 3 into 2 and called it just chapter 2.
那就这边就变第三章了。
And what's left is just the remaining chapter 3.
这是介绍一下，就是说以后如果你看别的版本的，它有时候翻成四章，那英文的我看到现在为止都只是翻三章，就有不同了。
This piece of information just to let you know, if you read any other translations or texts in the future, if it's divided into four, you'll know why and how.
那中文的当然是从 King James 翻过来的，就跟英文一样。
And the Chinese is the same as English for it.Came from the King James Version's translation.
内容一样，只是分章不一样而已啦。
The content is exactly the same, but the division of chapter is different.
那我们如果看一章圣经的话，就是说一个书卷的话，第一个要做的工作就是要把它分段，就整个书卷把它从头到尾看几遍。
When we come to study a chapter of a book in the Bible, the first homework we have to do is to divide it into proper segments.
那就要把它分段，就是说，什么是一个到哪一段一段，然后把它记起来，就是整个书卷在到底在写什么。
And take the whole scroll and divide it into sensible segments.
因为我们人很多，人少的话就可以大家一起做，这样比较有趣。
Although we have many here, so, but if we have less, we can have everyone participate. It's more interesting.
要不要大家起来, 看看怎么分?
But, do you want to try to divide it?
有没有做过?
Have you done it before? That what do you feel as the first segment, for example? How do we start to divide this?
没有看过一遍的请举手。
Who has not read it through once?
那大家都看过嘛, 对不对?
Everyone has.
不然这样子啦, 我已经有分好在这里了, 你们就看一下。
I've already divided in the material given, so please refer to it.
那在分段之前呢, 我给你们的这个讲义里面也有第一个是耶尔先知, 就看你们自己看一看。
So we refer to the material on the book of Joel on the first page.
那最主要这里面是介绍一下耶尔先知，耶尔先知他就是耶和华是神的意思。
First, the first paragraph describes the prophet Joel, introduces him. His name is the Lord is God.
耶和华是神。
That the Lord is God.
就是耶和的意思。
Meaning of the word Joel.
好，那在这里面，他的预言就是我们刚刚念过的耶稣二章这边，不但应验在属时代，也要应验在我们真耶稣教会身上。
And that the main prophecy of the book of Joel is, as Peter mentioned in Acts, and also will apply to us today.
那一般如果我们看很多的注解书的话，一定会提到说这个书什么时候著作的。
Often when we read the reference text, we'll see when we'll like to know when this book was written.
那有时候不同的神学家讲不同的话，有时候一卷书卷，像耶稣呢，有人说是在主前第九世纪，那有人说在主前第四世纪，那这样相差好几百年，那到底要听谁的？ 如果你只是看一个人的注解，哦，你又他又很有名，你看一定相信。为什么呢？因为他很会讲话，每个写书人都讲得很，啊，你又没有什么概念，那就相信了。最好你看十本，你看当晚看十本不同的注解之后，你就一个也不相信了。However,
often there's controversies amongst the theologians as to when the book was written. For example, some feel that Joel was written 9th century before Christ. Some feel it's the 4th century. So the difference in years is like 500 years. So you have to read many, many references. And after reading so many different versions, you probably won't believe any of them.
那但是我们一个基本的就是圣经是神所默示的，神比谁都早。 所以这是在神还没有创造我们之前就预定了给我们的，好像我们还没有生出来之前，神就已经晓得我们了。But
our fundamental lies in the fact that every scripture is God breathed. Therefore, this has already been destined to us by God before creation.
所以无论它多早多晚，对我们来讲没有什么关系的。Therefore,
the time when this book was written is rather irrelevant to us.
如果你真正的很有研究的话，那也没有关系。如果你没有研究的话，你人家讲这个讲那，你就全部不管它。But
if you're really interested in studying the history of it, it might be worth your while to search into it. But if you're not interested, then people tell you about the dates, then you could just ignore those dates.
因为有的时候，这个著书的著作的日期有时候会影响到我们的信仰。
For sometimes the time of the authorship may influence our faith to the book.
譬如说，但以理书,
For example, Daniel.
有人讲说，我们平常都是说相信这是神的预言，对不对？你们上过那个但以理书吗？
From reading Daniel, we believe that Daniel is a prophetic book.
但是一些神学家他们不相信有预言的事情。
But many theologians agree that Daniel is not a prophetic book.
若以但以书这个人的话, 把他当成就是我们所相信的是历史的人物的话, 他是在被掳的时候, 被抓到巴比伦的时候, 在主前, 586年, 对不对? 596到, 那个时候。
If we look at the historical Daniel, that when he was captured to Babylon, it was in the time frame of 586 to 596.
684,
sorry.
然后，但是后来的人呢，以为说这个太，这是BC哈，太早了。
But some feel that this is too early a date.
167，因为167的话，代理里面的一些故事哈，他们说这是。 有一些事情是发生过了，那他再把它写下来，假装说是预言。啊，他们有写了很多的证据哦，什么？那你一看，哎呀，真的，以前好像被骗什么，都是讲预言，但现在不是啊，那就影响到你的头脑。但是呢，主张这个人也很多，如果你只是看到这个派别的话，那你就被他影响。但是神学家里面有人讲这样，有人讲这样子，我看都是一样聪明的，没有说这个人特别聪明。 那这样的话再做什么怎么办？我们就不管他，我们只是看圣经到底讲什么。
However, opposing the theologians that believe that Daniel was written in 684 BC, some believe that it was written in 167 BC, which implied that many of his writings and sayings are not prophetic, for he many things have come about and he just wrote about them, and therefore they're not prophetic. But what we should concentrate on is what the message is, not whether the message is prophetic or anything.
那在研究小先知书里面有一个现在一个趋势，就是说他们把小先知书里面的话，有时候比一比，就是说，约珥书跟弥迦书来比较，那他们就想说，哎，约珥书里面有很多话跟那个弥迦书一样啊，他讲说，哎，这是他抄他的哈，抄过来。 那既然是他们这样讲了哈，如果约珥书是抄弥迦书的话，那一定要比弥迦书晚呢。好，那弥迦书如果在这个时候，就是说他的意思是说，约珥书他们写这个书的人就是看东看西啊，再抄一抄，那假装说，哎，神的话告诉我了。啊，他们说证据就是说有书有类似的，就是或是同样一个句子。
One common activity of the study of the minor prophets is people try to compare between the minor prophets. For example, they compare between Joel and Micah, and they see many verses are almost identical, and they would say one copied the other, which in this specific case, Joel would copy from Micah, for Joel came later.
那这样的话，就圣经没有什么预言性，就没有，他们不相信圣经是预言的，有预言这个东西。
That the result of the study is that they become skeptical of any prophetic nature of these prophetic books.
但是约书很明显的，你看，约书是在彼得老早彼得之前就写了，他最晚最晚也不会晚过第五、第四世纪。但是呢，就是在彼得之前400年写的，但是彼得他一得到圣灵，他马上就知道说，哎呀，这个约书就是写我们现在，预言已经应验了。
Joel is quite evident to us as, in terms of its prophetic nature, that when Peter quoted as a prophetic saying, no matter how late Joel is written, it cannot be after Peter's time, and it cannot be later than 4th century BC.
那耶稣，照我的分段的话，我是第一个第一章第一节，就是耶和华的话临到。
Here is the introduction of Joel, that the word of the Lord came to Joel, the son of Pethuel.
就是说神的话临到皮图尔的儿子约，这个来刚开始来讲说，这整个约书是神的话。
This statement of the word of the Lord came to Joel, the son of Pethuel, tells us that this whole book are words of God. Rather, Joel is just an instrument in between.
经过这个传声筒,
Through this medium, God pass his words onto us.
So this is 预言.
Therefore, this is the this is the nature of Joel.
在旧约里面, 有时候常常写说神的话漠视谁，漠视谁。那个漠视也等于 burden， 一样的，同样又同样一个字啊。神的话临到谁，也就神的话好像一个重担，重到你身上。
In the Old Testament, we see many references of the words of God came onto a person, and came onto can be replaced by the word burdened or put onto the person's shoulders.
就是说神的话临到你。 在圣经也是一样，如果我们看那个启示录到最后，约翰吃那书卷，吃到喉咙，吃到嘴里面是甜的，到肚子里面是苦的，变成一个重担。An
example from Revelation of this being burdened by the words of God is Elder John. He swallowed a small scroll, and when it came to his mouth, it was sweet, but after he swallowed it, it became bitter.
如果我们听道理只是感觉很甘甜的话，也就在嘴里面了。
If we listen to the words of God and it is only sweet to us, then we only have it in our mouth.
就是很好嘛，听道理很好，很甜蜜。
That we feel comforted and very sweet tasting.
但是如果你把它吃下去的话，要变成苦的，变成一个负担。
But if you swallow it, it has to become a burden to you.
我们看一下启示录。We'll
refer to Revelation.
启示录第十章
Revelation 10
第九节
Chapter 10 verse 9
十章九节我就走到天使那里对他说请你把小书卷给我他对我说你拿着吃尽了便叫你肚子发苦然而你口中要甜如蜜我从天使手中把小书卷接过来吃了
Verse 10
吃尽了在我口中果然甜如蜜 所以第一个阶段吃尽了，把神的话都把它听进去了，然后在口里面是甜的。After
you have eaten the words of God or you have listened to it, it is sweet to your taste.
所以神的话好像蜜一样，在诗篇有讲嘛，好像比蜜甘甜。我们有赞美诗，有中文的，有这一首赞美诗嘛，比蜜更甜，比那个疯狂下地的什么蜜更甘甜，反正就是很好，就是。
Just like described in the Psalms, that the words of God is sweet as honey to us.
但是在口里面甜，要把它吞下去，吞到肚子里面去，就不甜了。不但不甜，还发苦。
But what's sweet to our taste in our mouth must be swallowed, and when it gets there, it must show its bitter taste.
所以十章的十节最后面说，吃了以后肚子觉得发苦了。
That after he ate of it, his stomach turned bitter.
所以当我们听道理的时候，如果只是甜的话，感觉很甜很好的话，也只是在嘴巴里面。
So if we heard the words of God and we feel sweetness, we know it's still in our mouths.
就是在口里面而已啦。
That is, we haven't digested it.
要把它吞，不是吞下去了，把它咽下去。你小孩子如果不想吃饭的话，嘴巴满是东西啊，他不吞下去嘛。
That we,
吞下去,
we have to swallow it. We cannot be like a child and keep it in our mouth all the time and don't want to swallow.
那十一节,
Verse 11.
天使对我说：“你必指着多民、多国、多方、多王再说预言。”说花苦的话，人中文也这样讲了哈。我满腹的苦水，对不对？苦水就要怎么样？要吐苦水啊。
Here, after you eat of it, it becomes bitter that you will then prophesy and do something active with it. Like a Chinese saying that your whole inner is full of bitterness, that you're ready to spew bitterness.
那这里是说你花苦的意思说你有话一定要讲，不讲不行，里面发热，不是甜的，甜的很舒服的，很甘甜，很好的，这是苦，你一定要讲。 所以天使在说，你要指着多民、多国、多方、多王再说一言，就是传警告、传福音。One
implication here is that once it turns bitter in your stomach, you feel very uncomfortable that you wanted to eliminate it from your stomach, so you have to spew it out in terms of prophecy about people, nation, language, and kings.
所以我们在这个时代里面，这是我们的责任。
So in our generation, this is our obligation.
要吃了之后，要让它要吞下去。
That after we eat of it, we have to swallow it.
并且要让它发苦，然后要出去传。
And we have to allow it to show forth its bitter nature and be able to spew it back out and spread it.
如果来聚会只是听听，哎，甜甜，那回去啊，享受享受，只是这样还。只是开始而已，还不太够。
If we come to church just to taste the sweetness of the words of God, go home and do not do anything else with it, then this is insufficient.
就是还没有吞到肚子里面，如果吞下去的话，一定苦的。
Because we haven't digested the words of God, for it has to become bitter.
所以耶稣三章第九节、第七节，他这么说。
So in Joel 3:7 it says.
对不起，那个阿摩斯书啦，三章七。
Sorry, in the book of Amos, 3:7.
这是小先知书里面的了哈。
Amos is another minor prophet.
我们耶尔书之后就是那个阿摩斯书，在隔壁而已。
Amos follows the book of Joel.
他这边三章七节说：“主耶和华若不将奥秘指示他的仆人，众先知就一无所行。”第八节
，verse 8，
狮子吼叫，谁不惧怕呢？第九，再来
，verse 9，
主耶和华发命，谁不说预言呢
？7 and 8，
神要动工了，他已经把他的责任交给我们了。
That God's ready to do His work actively, therefore He has already entrusted His work to us.
神既然交给我们，我们难道不动吗
？God has entrusted us. Do we dare not to do anything for Him?
狮子吼叫，你不害怕吗
？Are you not afraid of the roar of the lion?
神发命令，你不说预言吗
？That God tells you secretive things and you don't dare to reveal them.
这里的预言就是要。去传扬真耶稣教会所传的这个纯正的道理。
Here the prophecy indicates our act of spreading the words of the truth.
要去传扬说，王以色列已经降了，要来到真耶稣教会寻找这个纯正的道理，并且这个纯正的圣灵。
To spread the fact that the spiritual Israel is coming upon our church, and we have to spread this truth to everyone.
所以愿神的这个话语在我们肚子里面发苦，越苦怎么样讲的越多。
So we hope that the words of God would take its effect in our stomach and become bitter, so that the more bitter it is, the more words we would have to say.
所以听到不只是甜的，而是当你吞到肚子里面去的时候是苦的。
Therefore, listening to the words of God cannot just be sweet in your mouth, but it must follow that it's bitter in your stomach.
那我们再回来看我们耶稣。
Let's return to Joel.
耶稣再过来一章二节到二十节，我这边是写说空前的蝗灾预告耶和华的日子。
Here it talks about the invasion of the locusts prophesying the day of the Lord from verse 2 to 20.
那在这里我们看到第二节到第四节是这个空前的这个蝗虫的灾害是具体的。
Verse 2, we hear the swarm of the invasion of locusts.
他在这边警告跟那些老年人说，老年人啊，要听哦，国中的居民啊，你们要听。
Here, first addresses the elders. It says, listen, hear this, you elders.
他说，在你们的日子没有这样的事情了。
That nothing like this has ever happened in your days.
你们列祖的时候也没有这样的事情。
Even in the days of your forefathers has never anything occurred like this.
那你们呢要传给你们的子孙你们的儿子啦。
And you will have to pass on to your children.
那你的儿子要传给孙子。
And your children will have to tell it to their children.
那他的孙子要一直传到后代。
And their children will continue the continuity.
那一代一代的传
generation to generation.
要传什么
？What are they passing on？
要传神这个很大的当在当时的一个蝗虫的灾害。
To pass on this event of the invasion of locusts from God.
这里有讲到四样的这个烈士蝗虫这东西。
Here it mentions four things regarding these locusts.
第二是茧虫来吃，吃剩下的蝗虫又来吃，蝗虫吃剩下的男子又来吃，男子吃剩下的麻扎又来吃。
Here it says, what the swarm has left, the great locusts have eaten. What the great locusts have left, the young locusts have eaten. And what the young locusts have left, the other locusts have eaten.
那讲这段圣经的话，有两个讲法，一个是说这是四种不同的蝗虫。
There are two different ways to interpret this verse. First is that there are four different types of locusts.
那一样比一样厉害，一样比一样强，最后到最后就什么都吃光光了。
And the awesomeness increased in magnitude from one to the next.
那另外一种讲法是说，这四个呢是蝗虫的四个时期不同的名称，就是蝗虫从小到大的四种的名称。
And second interpretation of here, this verse is the different stage of a locust life from young to old.
那就是蝗虫从小吃到大，把全地都吃光了。
That the locust will eat from young to old until the land has been totally eaten.
无论怎么样，总意就是说，这是一个空前绝后的这个蝗虫的大灾害。
No matter what interpretation, it implies the fact that there is an unprecedented invasion of locusts.
所以在这样一个大灾害之后呢，先知就开始呼吁了。
That after the invasion of the locusts, the prophets would start to lament.
所以一章的五节到十四节呢，是在讲他们灾害之后的这情况。
Verse 5 through to 14 describes the aftermath of the invasion.
那在这里我们可以看到他呼吁说，醉酒的人啊，要哀哭。
Here it starts his lamentation by talking about the drunkards, you must weep.
那民呢，要哀嚎。
And the people, you have to lament.
那祭司也要悲哀。
Even the priests must mourn.
农夫要惭愧。
And the farmers have to be ashamed.
那祭司也要痛苦。
And the priests in despair.
所以，那他这个内容我们就自己看一看哈，他为什么要哀哭？哀哭些什么
？And from the contents, we should read ourselves as to what they're lamenting about.
那十五节之下，十五节到十八节
，From 15 onwards，
这是一首哀歌啦。
Here is a lamentation.
这好像那个。十五节这边说爱在耶和华哈，耶和华的日子临近了。这是他们在教，就是遇到这样的一个大灾害之后，他们从心里面发出来一个悲哀的一个声音。
For example, in verse 15, there is a cry out, "Alas for that day!" That is their call to the Lord after this invasion of locusts.
在哀歌里面，我们可以看到那个耶利米哀歌。
From this lamentation, we can see, draw reference to Jeremiah's lamentation.
以色列人他们遇到了悲哀的事情，他们都会唱哀歌。
When the Israelites encounter troubles and hardship, they would always lament.
譬如说那个扫罗死了，大卫有没有跟他做哀歌哈？
For example, when Saul passed away, David sang songs of lament.
因为那一天刚好也是他的最好的朋友那个约拿单去世。
For that was also the day of his best friend's death, Jonathan.
那他也为那个约拿单做哀歌，说啊，英雄为什么去世？然后那个刀剑，他的英雄刀剑为什么扑倒
？That he also lamented for his friend Jonathan, saying, "How can a hero pass away?"
他们悲哀的时候也会一面走一面哀嚎了。
And when they lament, they will walk and they will mourn openly.
像那个大卫，他被他的儿子赶走的时候，就是他儿子叛变，然后他从那个京城逃出的时候，一面走叫什么？一面哭哈啊，一面哀嚎，一面叫苦，哎呀，怎么的
？That David gone through the action of mourning as he walked, he would openly mourn.
最厉害就是他们如果有人去世的话，他们要唱哀歌。
And the most expressive of this lamentation is when someone dies, they would sing songs of lamentation.
所以到最后变成一种职业，就是唱哀歌的人。
At the end, it comes about a occupation of people lamenting as a profession.
那位女孩子唱了 调比较高，并且眼泪比较会掉，所以有专门唱哀歌的妇女，职业的，就是人家去世了，那去就去跟，替那个家唱哀歌，这样一唱的话，那个气氛也更悲伤嘛，这样子。
That the voice of the female is more high and more pleasant to the ear, and therefore there are professional female lamenters that will go to funerals and make the setting more gloomy.
我去年回台湾，那个我妈妈说，最近有一种职业就是什么替人家哭的哈，在台湾哈，就是人家因为有人像移民到美国哪里啊，家里就老年人，老年人去世了，那儿女都不在啊，他们就有专门请人来当儿子，好好当。我是没有看过了，妈妈说，也有时候那哭的也是一把眼泪一把鼻涕的，虽然也不晓得死人姓什么叫做什么，就职业哭手啦。
Last year when I returned to Taiwan, my mom told me about these professional mourners, which, for example, if the children gone to foreign country to study, and the elderly parents pass away, then there's no children there to mourn, so they've hired these professional mourners that mourn very, very professionally, however, they may not even know the last name of who they're mourning for.
然后，但是以色列他们这个不是有眼泪没有心的那种哭，好像猫哭老鼠一样。
But the lamentation here of the Israelites is not one without a sincere heart. It is not like a cat mourning for a mouse.
他们哭完之后，哀哉之后，我们看十九节到二十节。
Verse 19 tells us the post lamentation period.
那十九节说：“耶和华，我向你求告。”所以这是向神求告，哀哀的向神祈求。
That after they lament, they turn to God and they call on their Lord.
所以这是向神求告的话语啊。
So these are words pleading to the Lord.
那这就是我们的第一章啊。
And this completes our first chapter.
所以第一章里面，我们的第一节就是引言。
So the first chapter, the first verse is introduction.
那第二节到第四节就是当时的灾祸的实际情况，蝗虫灾。
And verses 2-4 describes the then situation of this invasion of locusts.
五节到十四节是蝗虫灾之后，全国各阶层的人遇到的这个痛苦的情况。
And 5-14 describes the great disaster which came upon the people and their experiences.
那十五节到十八节是他们因为遇到了这样的灾，所以大家所唱出的哀歌。
And 15-18 is their reaction to the great disaster, that is, they mourned and lamented.
那十九节、二十节是他们因为遇到这样哀歌也哀了，所以向再来就只能向神求告，求告神。
And 19-20 showed their helplessness as they turned to God and called on the Lord.
那第二章。之后就是第二章，我们看第一节。
And for chapter 2, we look at verse 1.
说你们要在锡安吹角，在我圣山吹出大声，这是神的宣告。
Here in verse 1, it says, Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound alarm on my holy hill. Those who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming.